Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Welcome again into the house of the Lord tonight. It was great yesterday, and I had to miss last night, but I know I missed a wonderful testimony by Miss Haiti. I am very, very sure God is really moving, and we're going to leave Moses in the wilderness for just a few weeks here, hanging out on his own with the people, because several people have been telling me, and I don't think it's no accident, that they're in need of miracles and a miracle, and so we're going to start through the miracles of Christ and just get it for a short time here. I want to actually give you a testimony. I think it's always good to share testimonies, but this was very significant to me. We had the other night, I had an opportunity. My niece, Monica, who's a missionary, invited my husband and I to dinner and took us to a nice place for dinner. And it was just beautiful and wonderful and amazing in every way possible. And during that conversation, she was supposed to be speaking yesterday morning at a church in St. Charles, Illinois, where she was going to be required to speak it entirely in Spanish, and she still struggles with a few words here and there. And so she was asking me specifically to pray for her. You know, will you be praying for me? And so on Sunday morning, since Miriam and them have worked so hard on our cross, and the cross is significant to me, I've been praying at the cross for needs that are happening in different people's lives. And I had, since I had promised her to pray for her, I began to pray for her, and I began to say, Lord, I want you to give her clarity. I want you to be able to use her mouth, speak through her mouth, that she will know the words, that she will not stumble, that they will. This will have an impact. And I just started saying, anointing, anointing, anointing. Send the Holy Spirit, anointing, anointing, anointing. And yesterday, in a conversation by text, I made the remark to her, I said, I did remember to pray for you when I went to church. I knelt at the cross and I prayed for you. And she said, Aunt Pam, she goes, I know you're probably the only one who will ever believe this. She said, as I was beginning to speak yesterday morning at the church, she said, all of a sudden, I knew my Aunt Pam is praying for me right now. And she said, I heard the words, anointing, anointing, anointing. Were you saying those? And I said, I was. I was at the cross saying them. And she said, Aunt Pam, I literally heard your voice. She goes, now I can't tell this to just anybody. She said, they won't believe me. She said, I heard your voice saying it. I heard your voice saying anointing, anointing, anointing. And she said, and I was able to do what I needed to do. And it really, it was a home run. And that it just, God is doing things that are supernatural, that are very much outside of the box. Miracles were not just Old Testament. They are for today. And we don't need to forget that. And tonight, we're going to talk about the miracle of the setting free of the demoniac of Gadara. And I want to preface this by saying, if you think that you don't need to hear any message on demons or that concerns demons, that will never concern you, that you will never meet up with any such thing, then you are sadly mistaken, and especially as a believer, because the enemy is going to make sure you do, first of all. But remember last week I shared a testimony about my friend Rose, her daughter Beth, just weeks ago in a grocery store. A young child was just out of control, literally foaming at the mouth and just crazy. And she walked over and cast the demon out of her. So it happens today, just to let you know. So I'm going to read from Mark. There are three. This is found in three Gospels, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. This is the demonic of Gadara. They went across the lake to the region, this is from Mark, of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man possessed with an unclean spirit came out from the tombs to meet him.
No, not out from his house, out from the tombs. The man lived in the tombs, not in the house. And no one could bind him, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained with irons, hand and foot, and he tore the chains apart. Have you ever broken a piece of metal? Anybody? Anybody broke metal? Besides the paperclip, that doesn't count. For he had been chained hand and foot, and he tore the chains and broke the irons on his feet. They were iron. No one was strong enough to subdue him night and day. Among the tombs in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran, fell on his knees in front of him. That's to take note. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me? Jesus, Son of the Most High God, in God's name, do not torture me." For Jesus had just said to him, "Come out of this man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Legion." He said, "For we are many." All of a sudden, there's one, now there's we. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. So we know that in this account, I'm going to be brief with this, in the account of it, and then I'm going to get into it. Jesus then cast the demons out of this man and into a herd of pigs, about 2,000 of them, and the pigs ran off of a cliff into a lake, and they were drowned. The pig owners ran into the town and told the people, "You got to come and see this, what happened." They were angry. They were upset. These were their pigs and their livelihood and their money. So you got to come see. They came to Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting dressed, and in his right mind, coherent, and they were afraid. The people then did something I find strange. They began to beg Jesus, "Leave, leave, get out, get out, get out, get out, get out." If you ask Jesus to please leave me alone, get out of my life, he will comply. He will not force himself on you. All you have to say is, "Don't mess with me. I'm tired of, you know, I don't want you interfering in my life anymore. Get out," and he will leave. So as Jesus prepares to leave this town, because he will not stay if you tell him to go, the man who was delivered said, "I want to go with you." And Jesus said, "No, you go and tell the town what happened." So the man went away and began to tell this in Decapolis, and the people there were amazed in those towns. This is amazing. This is amazing. Now I want to tell you, demons are real. They are real. They're embodied spirits that are looking to habitate a man or a woman or a boy or a girl, young people. And if they cannot, they will inhabit an animal because they're so evil, they want to do evil no matter what. So demons are real. However, for a believer, they are absolutely not to be feared. God is greater. And there's so much more to talk about here. First, I want to begin with some foundation as we get into this. This account is found in three Gospels, Matthew 8, Mark 5, and Luke 8. Now, let me say something. Anytime any account is found in more than one of the Gospels, we absolutely need to study all accounts that are available to us in order to get all of the information that we need and is available to us. This is why in a courtroom, at a trial, they're not looking for people to lie, but they get two or three witnesses on the stand. They take depositions from multiple people, not so they're like, "Oh, this one said that," so that they will have increased information, okay? Someone will think of something that another person did not think of. For example, in the account of only Matthew, by the way, why did we need Matthew? Here's the reason. Because we see that there are two demoniacs. Matthew is the only gospel that mentions there were two demoniacs. Now, the story is about one of them, okay? But there were two demoniacs. There's a reason for this, and there's a lesson in this, because everyone is not willing to be free. Sometimes people's abnormal, listen to this, becomes their normal abnormal. In other words, we accept what really isn't normal in our lives, and that becomes our normal, but it's not. It's abnormal. But I want to say something in talking about the differences between the Gospels. They never contradict each other, but one may add to the other. But here's the thing, and let me explain it to you like this. They don't contradict each other. If I tell you there are two apples right up here on this thing, there's two apples up here. I'm giving you a count. I'm going, "Hey, by the way, you know, Frida, there were two apples on the table." That's the truth, right? Now, if Frida says to someone, "I took one apple off the table," or I saw an apple on the table, that doesn't contradict my words that there were two apples. I gave more information. For her to say there's one apple, that's almost true. However, if she said there was only one apple, then that now contradicts my statement that there were two apples. So the Bible does not contradict, it just adds. So this is an actual account. It is not a parable. And let me kind of explain the difference between a parable and an actual account. In a parable, which is a story that is an example, it's called a story that is an example that could be anyone. You'll often see words like a certain person or in a certain town. That can be a parable. And Jesus will tell us it's a parable. However, it's teaching by example. But if there are names mentioned, if Jesus starts mentioning a name, a specifics, this happened to this person specifically, that is no longer a parable because Jesus would not lie and make up names of things that happened, okay? So this is not a parable. This is an actual account that really happened. And I love that Matthew mentioned that there were two, because from that we can glean, then we have to ask ourselves the question, why was only one set free if there were two? There's a very good answer to that. Why in a congregation, when you give an altar call for salvation, there might be two people or 20 people in the audience, why aren't they all saved? Because all are not willing, all are not seeking salvation. So that can happen, and that's the lesson we get from this. There were two that needed to be set free, and there were only one that got free, because it's in three different accounts. And it's true with salvation, baptism, anything that God has, because he won't force himself on us. So Jesus arrives in the country, and he is met by a man who was possessed with demons. Now, we're going to talk about the difference between influenced by demons, harassed by demons, and possessed by demons. The word possession actually implies ownership. If I possess something, if it is in my possession, I have it, I own it. It is my personal possession. That's my necklace. That's my possession. Okay. However, demon possession, even though I will say this, people today use the term possession very too loosely, because most people, and especially Christians, and we're going to talk about that also, can a Christian be possessed by a demon? Most people use the term they're possessed too loosely. What they're really referring to is they're harassed or they're allowed bad behavior in their life. But here's the thing, possession really happens, and you want to see some modern day examples if you tell me that people are never possessed. If an individual takes an AK, whatever it is, and goes in the building and blows away 50, 60 people for really what we would, there is no good reason, but kills a whole group of people, what is the first thing people will say? What possessed them to do that? That's my question, too. It's not mostly what possessed them. In my way of thinking, it is who possessed them to do that. That would be the enemy. But I want to make something clear to all of us tonight. A blood-bought believer who has received Christ in their life can absolutely not be possessed or owned by a demon. You can't be owned by Christ and also owned by a demon. However, they cannot have a demon. They cannot be owned by a demon, possessed by a demon, but they can possess a demon. Here's the difference. A burglar does not own your house, okay? He is not the owner of your house. You are the owner of your house. However, if you allow that individual in your home, they can harass you. They can do great, great damage. Now, our lives, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, but if we open doors that we should not open, and it's almost by invitation, but we can do that even unknowingly by things we do, open a door, a demon can come in and begin to harass us. At that point, and I want to tell you something else about demon possession. When we talk about casting out demons, most of us, when I talk about casting out demons, I am not referring to me. I'm referring to casting out demons of all you folks. Anybody want to come down? I'll cast the devil out of you. Come on. Okay, let's stop right there. What did I say about the home ownership? Who do you think would be the best person to cast the demon out of you? I got the answer. It's you. It's you. You have authority. You have authority over yourself. You can tell the devil, get the hell out of my life. I will close this door. I am a blood-bought Christian. I repent of that open door that I let in my life, whether it's pornography, whether it's addictions, whatever. I'm going to quit that behavior. I'm closing that door. And Lord, I repent of that. And devil, you can't come here anymore. No more. No access denied. Do you know that people don't teach that you can cast the devil out of your own life because you have been given all authority and you can tell him to go? Now, we can also, other people, you know, but it's us. We're the owner of the house. We were purchased with the price. We belong to God, but we can open a door. Many, many years ago, and I think I've shared this before, in our home, I know Candy and Sandra, at least Candy remembers it, probably Sandra too, when the man tried to break into our house. I think I shared that with you guys. The man tried to break into our house, and the person who cast him out, we did not call for a team of demon casters or people to get the burglar out of our home. My husband, head of the house, authority given to him by God to take care of his family, went to the door. And let me tell you, when I say he cast the devil out of our house. And, you know, we need to take the authority that God has given us. So when Jesus arrives, this one man runs up to him. And why do you think that this demon-possessed man, you would think he would be running from Jesus, but he's running to Jesus? Let me tell you why. He was desperate. And one who is desperate, sometimes that's a good place to be. When I'm so desperate, you say, I have no place else to go. No, you do have another place to go. It's to the feet of Jesus. And the question I would have to anyone who's suffering from any type of bondage and no condemnation is, are you desperate enough to want to be free from that? If you can, are you desperate enough to come to Jesus? So when this man, this one, saw that Jesus from a distance, he ran and he fell down at his feet in front of him and he shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me. Really, what he was saying is, don't send me to the abyss before my time. For Jesus, and that's another account, for Jesus had said to him already, come out of this man, you unclean spirit. I want to say this, that it transitions from the man falling at the feet of Jesus. And then next you see he shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want with me? But that was his voice and the demons are now speaking. What do you want with me? Because, again, he was possessed. But Jesus says, come out of this man, you unclean spirit. And I want to tell you something. There are many people who will tell you something incorrectly. They will say that once you are possessed by a demon, and you are controlled by a demon, you're totally out of your mind, and you can no longer be set free. And that's a lie. That is a total lie. I'm going to explain it to you. It appeared that these demons in this man were so strong, and they had a measure of strength, and so controlling over him. He was truly bound. But let me tell you what he was able to do. He was able to run and fall at the feet of Jesus. And I want to say this so that all of us can hear it, all of us. No one, and I mean no one, has the power to keep you from coming to worship Jesus, no matter how bad your situation is. That is one thing that the devil cannot take away from you. God himself will not even violate your freedom to choose. You always have the ability to come to the feet of Jesus. So this man bowed at the feet of Jesus. That, my friends, is an act of worship and surrender. He's at the feet of Jesus. He is seeking help, even in his condition that is horrific. Immediately after he did, the demons became afraid and started saying, don't cast us out. Don't take. You see this possessed man at the feet of Jesus, and the demons knew what was happening. So they shouted, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture us. They had controlled this man. They had caused him to take his clothes off and cut himself. He had to be chained. He was so out of control, yet he was strong enough to break the chains. He could break iron chains, but he could not break the chains around and take the chains off of his heart and his mind, because those were the chains of hell itself. And you see that Jesus then asked the demons. And by the way, let's go through this again. When God says, "Where are you, Cain? Where are you? Where's your brother?" He is not looking for information. Oh, I don't know where Abel is. I need to ask Cain. Maybe Cain knows where Abel's at. God is not looking for information. So when Jesus said, "What is your name?" He's not looking for any information. He's calling him out. "I demand that you identify yourself." And so the demon said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again and again not to send them out of the area. They liked that area. And you know why? Watch what those people say. "Get out of here, Jesus." This was a good area for them. Jesus then cast the demons out of the man. They went into the herd. About 2,000 of the pigs ran off the cliff in the lake and were drowned. What exactly does that mean, "My name is Legion"? Legion means 6,000. This was 6,000 demons. Can you? I don't think I've ever met anyone with 6,000 demons. Let me tell you, you might say, "Well, that's pretty powerful. There are 6,000 demons." Not compared to the power of God. Not at all. I love how the power of God in seconds. And we're going to talk about a few things real quickly here. The power and the love of God. And the Bible also tells us that this man had been this way for a very long time. Listen, he was wearing no clothes, totally naked. He no longer lived in a house. He lived in a graveyard in the tombs. And I want to say something a little bit about deliverance. Some people fear the power of God more than they fear the power of the enemy. I can remember as a child, that was probably me. Because I would see people just under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and it caused me to fear because I had no understanding of it. But there are people today that fear the power of God more than they fear the power of the enemy. And a lot of that today is because they've seen too many movies. Do not get your theology from Hollywood. Do not watch a movie about demons and think, "Boy, I got it. I got it. I think I know how it works now." No, you don't. No, you don't. Not at all. You don't watch The Exorcist and get your theology. And I want to tell you that if someone needs to be set free from bondages of the enemy and needs deliverance, we do not need to hire a team of deliverance specialists or ministers to come and, AKA, hold the person down, where they will thereby start to scream, shake, and spit in bags. That is wrong theology. That is not. Can something like that happen when a demon comes out? I have seen one case where there was a shrill scream and it was over. So let me be honest. I believe that the power of the cross and the blood is all we need and the word of God to be set free. I believe that we can come to Jesus and ask him to set us free. I believe we've been given the authority through Christ to tell the demons to leave our life. And we have the authority over our own home. We can cast out demons out of our lives and out of our family. But I have seen videos, and so has Sandra, of deliverances where I just sat there and shook my head. I would have been more afraid of the deliverance people that were just beating the Bibles on the people than the people who supposedly had the demons. I mean, I thought, man, the person who's doing the deliverance, they're the ones who needs the deliverance. But that's how it was. You know, don't give the devil drama time. Don't give him drama time. I say go, devil, you got to go. So let's talk about the man who was possessed. He had not worn clothes. Let me say something about that. What does that mean? Why is that significant? Because it means he wasn't covered up. And sin brings shame in our life. He was naked. But let me tell you something about
as we receive Jesus, we're covered by the blood. He did not live in a house anymore. Why? Because no one wants to live in a house with a possessed man. That's why. He was kept under guard. Why? Because he was dangerous to himself and others. This is why people need to be set free. He was bound with iron. He would cut himself. But we know that Jesus was pierced for us on the cross, and he was cut for us. And if anyone tells you, though, that demons are not a present problem in 2023, then you need to give them, for the past 10 years, a list of the mass shootings and tell them, say, what to answer the question again, if demons are on the earth today. And this account was not so much about what Jesus did. It was about who he is. He's our deliverer. And let me just tell you something. I have been in mental homes and hospitals, and it is not uncommon to see people walking around without their clothes. It is not uncommon to see people who were cutting at all. There was a time about, 10, 12 years ago, I don't even have the time frame, when I got a call that a teen girl that I knew was in transit to a psych hospital because she was found not far from here and was naked. Naked. I went, and others went and ministered to her. There's at least one person here who knows of this situation. And I believe, as far as I know, today she's loving Jesus and she's free. Free. Got an amen on that. Demons are real, but Jesus is too. The power of God is greater than your greatest problem. I also want us to note that Jesus spoke directly to the demons, and he did not ask the demons to come out. He didn't ask them to come out. He commanded them to come out of the man, and they did. Now, here we're getting to the humor, to the funny part of the whole account. To me, the funny account is the townspeople. The townspeople, remember, the pig owners and the townspeople, they've lost their pigs, they've lost their business, and the people come to see, and they're afraid more of Jesus, who cast out the devils and the man, than they are the demon. So when the people arrive, the Bible says that the formerly possessed man, who was possessed with over 6,000 demons, legion, was now fully clothed. He's got clothes on now. And he's in his right mind. He's able to hold a conversation. He's in his right mind. And the Bible says they were terribly afraid. So you're telling me that you know this man. You've seen him before. You know he's out in the tombs. And then you see him, and all of a sudden he's normal. He's what I would call normal. He's got clothes on like they got clothes on. And he's got his right mind like they got his right mind. And they were shocked and terrified. In their minds, demons were strong. And so now they see someone stronger than the demons, and it troubled them. The power of God, like I said. But here's the thing. The abnormal man was normal to them in their town. Hey, that's Joe, the demon man. Huh, he's just in the tombs. He ain't hurt nobody today. Chain him up. Leave him there. It's normal. They were content to let this man, two things, suffer and them to watch it. I'm not satisfied with that at all. Just that there's, if I know somebody in my life who's tormented by devils, they're suffering, or they're even in some kind of addiction or bondage, it bothers me. It troubles me because I know that's not normal. And I'm not going to ever let it be normal. And I won't ever accept it either if I have to pray the rest of my life. And so they tell Jesus, just instead of rejoicing, they just go away. Just go away, Jesus. And that's the saddest part of the story, is to not want Jesus, after hearing the testimony of this man and seeing it, you see something. And you're still like, you see a miracle in front of your eyes and you're still like, I don't want him. I don't understand that, why you don't want him. Hearing the testimones of people. Lots of time people in a church will hear testimonies, powerful testimonies. And, you'll give an altar call and you'll say, well, would you want to come and receive Jesus now? Not a chance. That's unacceptable. So the man who was set free saw Jesus getting ready to leave. He wanted to go with him. Jesus said no. He said, go on. Let's let our worship team come forward.
go and tell everyone what has happened to you. That was going to be his responsibility. And I think this is great, that he gives the responsibility. The responsibility, the Bible says something interesting in Revelation. It says that you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And what I like to say is the blood of the Lamb is my testimony. And you are responsible for giving your testimony. And I also say, don't clean up your testimony. Don't take out the bad parts. Tell me how far you've come, because maybe I'm broken and need. And he told him to go into Decapolis, and start giving his testimony. Remember last week when we were talking about the Ten Commandments? I told you that deca means a measure of 10. The Ten Commandments, and log means word. So the 10 words of God. So again tonight, Decapolis, deca, once again, it means 10, and polis means city. 10 cities he ministered in. Think of that. But when the people who asked him to leave, sad, because Jesus immediately left, the next time Jesus came to town, they received him. After this incident, immediately following this incident, when Jesus isn't going to quit ministering just because a group of people reject him, okay? He's not going to stop, and you shouldn't either. And so the people ask him, after this incident and being invited to leave, Jesus just went across the lake where he healed a 12-year-old girl, raised her back from the dead, and then healed a woman that we talk about with an issue of blood who pressed in through the crowd. And I love how Jesus always asks people, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be whole? And he will ask them, do you want to be set free? And that's us. So if you have any struggles in your life and any bondages and you don't want to come up and shake and us hold you down and spit in a bag and us shake you around a little bit, you just tell the devil to leave. Say, I give you no place in my life. You have to go in Jesus' name. I command you to leave. I have the authority to do so, and it'll be over. It'll be over. And if you need extra prayer, find one of us, and we'll happily pray for you. And let me say something that I've told people before. I don't care what it is. The devil will say, don't come. Don't go talk to her. You know, she don't drink. She don't do drugs. She don't have those feelings or those thoughts. I care. And you can come, and there is no condemnation. Who would turn away a person who had the courage and the guts to say, I need help? If we don't have any more compassion than that, who are we? So let's pray one for another that we would all be free in Jesus' name.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.